Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today, I want to talk about expertise, and in particular, I want to talk about the expert on you. So I looked up the word expert in my Oxford Dictionary, and it's defined as a person who has a comprehensive and authoritative knowledge of or skill in a particular area. So if we're looking for the expert on you, we're looking for a person who has a comprehensive and authoritative knowledge of you. Now, that limits our options dramatically. You may say, well, my partner knows me better than I know myself, or my parents know me better than myself. But on the whole, the only person who could possibly have a comprehensive and authoritative knowledge of you is you, which means you are the expert on you. Now, there's a really simple way of seeing that, which is, and I don't know if you have memories of this or you've done this, but most people I talk to get this one. Have you ever gone shopping for shoes and the salesperson tells you that they fit? You know they don't fit, but the salesperson is really convinced that they fit. And anyways, they look great on you, so a little bit of discomfort's no big deal. That's an example where it's obvious to most people that they are the only person who can really determine whether or not the shoe fits. No matter how many pairs of shoes that salesperson has sold, no matter how good the shoe might look, literally the only person in the universe who can tell you if the shoe fits is you. Now, most people not along with me when I say that. That is not contentious. That rarely garners any debate. And yet, even when we know that we are the only possible expert on us, it's extraordinary how often we and other people look outside ourselves to get the answer to things. And the reason, as best I can tell, is because we think there are right answers to most things. And in fact, there are right answers to relatively few things. There are right answers to math problems. There are right answers to things that have already happened in the past. But most of what we are looking to experts for is the future. It's not math, it's possibility. And there are no right answers in a world of infinite possibility. There are only effective answers. And there aren't even really effective answers. There are more effective answers and less effective answers. So if you think about it, if we're not looking for right answers, then the criteria we have for choosing experts changes, because there isn't a right answer to how do I best live my life. There isn't a right answer to what should I do for work. There isn't a right answer to how much money should I charge. There isn't a right answer to how long should it take to grow my business. And yet, we look to experts to tell us the right answers. And there are experts out there who are happy to. And I don't know, maybe they really think there are right answers to those things. Or maybe they've just figured out that it's give the people what they want. Now, if there aren't right answers, what are there? Well, there's best guesses. Very often, what we've got is our best guess for now. And that's why so much of success is iterative. It isn't to make a plan and follow it. It's make an initial plan, try it, see what happens, make a next plan, try it, see what happens, and each plan will be closer to effective. It will be more effective. Another way of thinking of it, if you don't like best guesses, well, that I can't base my entire business on best guesses. Well, actually, you already do, but let's call it next experiments. So everything you do, by definition, is an experiment. You've got a hypothesis, I think this might work, and you try it out, and it works as well as you thought it would, better than you thought it would, or much worse than you thought it would. I worked with somebody who was a theater director. And when they would try something and it didn't work, she used to say, good experiment, clear result, moving on. And we can all do that at any time. We try stuff. And if it works, great. If it doesn't work at all, good experiment, clear result, moving on. And if it sort of works, then we can look at it and go, okay, what do I want to keep from this and do more of? And what do I want to leave out of the next iteration? Now, another analogy for it. If there are no right answers, you don't like best guesses, you're not sure about next experiments, well, what about thinking in bets? One of my favorite book titles is a book by the professional poker player Annie Duke called Thinking in Bets. I've never actually read the book, so I can neither vouch for it or not vouch for it. But the idea of thinking in bets is really in line with how things work. All we can do is think in bets. Now, a lot of you might think, oh, well, I don't want to gamble. But that's because you think you're gambling with your mortgage money. You think you're gambling with your rent money. Actually, when it comes to most things, we're gambling with the house's money. We're trying stuff knowing full well that either we get the result that we want or we get really useful data to inform our next bet, to inform our next experiment, to guide our next guess. Now, does this mean if I'm the expert on me and all I can do is make a best guess, next experiment, good bet? Why would I ever talk to everybody? Why would I ever listen to your podcast? Why would I ever have use for other experts? Well, one of the things that experts can be really useful for is helping you get information that you don't have. So very often, somebody is an expert in a particular field, and what they've got is information that might be harder for you to get. Now, that's not always true. People used to phone into my radio show all the time with questions, and I remember one particular person, and they actually lived in Hollywood, and they phoned me, and they said, hey, I know you've done podcasts, and you used to do voiceover, and how do I, you know, can you tell me the best place to go? I just don't know how to find a recording studio. And while they were talking, once I realized where they were going, I had a mute pedal, and I hit my mute pedal, and I typed into Google, good voiceover agencies, recording studios near where this person said that they lived. And I said, well, yes, I can. And I gave them the top three replies on Google. And they were so grateful. Now, I didn't stop there. I said, I Googled it. And one of the great things about Google is with data like that, you usually can kind of find that information on Google. But sometimes somebody has extra information, insider information. A second reason we might go to an expert is to catalyze, to spark our own wisdom, our own insight, our own creativity. So I had a coach who used to point out to me somewhat gleefully and somewhat ruefully, you've done better than any client I've ever worked with, and you've done less of what I've said than any client I've ever worked with. But for me, it was because I was using that coach to spark my own ideas. I was using them to help me tap into my own expertise, to tap into my own knowing, to tap into my own best guesses, my own inspired experiments, my own best bets. And then the last kind of place where people outsource to an external expert is a little trickier, because it looks like, oh, no, I don't do that. I ask wisdom. I ask my wisdom, and if wisdom tells me to do this, I do this, and I try to my best to follow wisdom. But if you think of wisdom as something outside you, even if you think of it as something inside you, outside you, then you're still creating a distance between you and your own knowing, between you and your own clear sense of the shoe either fits or it doesn't. The experiment either appeals to you or it doesn't. The best guess either seems like a good idea or it doesn't. So ultimately, you don't even need to outsource the expertise to this mythical force called wisdom. You are made of the intelligence of life. You've got this. You are the expert on you. Have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk with you soon.